was given 2 hours. Is it 2 hours or 20 minutes? Yeah. Which one? You know? All right. He said, I was about to be introduced. I said, there's no need for introduction. Just ask people around. He was the one that was kicked out. That's actually that what happened. All right. We're going to be looking at several passages, but let's start with Isaiah chapter 42, please. The book of Isaiah. And it's great to be here. I told somebody this morning that even Pastor asked me to preach. I was hesitant. I was about to say no, but then he said, it's a breakfast meeting. Yes. All right. So, so that's an encouragement. Very enticing. I can't refuse. No. It's great to be here. Praise the Lord for that. I'm looking at the time, preacher, but it doesn't mean anything. So looking at it. But in Isaiah chapter 42, please. Good to have some of our members here. Brother Fernand, Brother Perietta, to come. Isaiah 42, verse 18, please. In verse 18, it says, hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. What the Bible is telling us here is that, hey, you can look, and because you don't look, you're blind. You get to see this. All right, verse 19, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. I want to share with you a short message here. I emphasize the word short. I'll give it a try. I entitled Spiritual Blindness. Spiritual Blindness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you again. Not worthy to really preach your word, nobody. But we thank you for the grace of God, for his blood, and his perfect will for a life of individual who would yield themselves to thee. We ask, Father, for cleansing. Thank you for your promises, especially with regard to the blood. Very precious, very powerful. We claim that victory in Christ. Thank you so much for the testimony of this church. I pray for your continued blessing, Lord. We thank you for your calling. We just continue to commit the great commission that this church is being fulfilled right before our eyes, Lord. What's happening and what their effort meant to you as far as your grace that you have given to them. I pray for your great blessing. Now would you speak, and as you speak, would you help us listen, and as we listen, would you grant us the grace to fulfill what you have for us. Thank you again for this time. In your most wonderful name we pray. Amen. This passage is primarily referring to the nation of Israel. We know that, and servant, messenger. The Bible calls them blind. And until they come to Jesus and acknowledge him as the Messiah, they won't be healed. We know that. That's John chapter 12 in verse 40. Our proper response to the why and what and how and when and where of doing as what Christians should be doing reside mainly on what we see around us. Not just literally, but spiritually. Right? If we see something very clear, we would act upon them. And when we act upon them, we will try to give our best. That's all that God is asking for us. But if we don't see things the way the Bible sees things, we will not respond properly. That's the truth, right? You got to. For instance, if you have a problem with the wife or vice versa, you don't see that, you would refuse to see that. You won't act accordingly. This is what God's emphasis here as far as seeing things. You got to see to be able to understand. And when you understand by the grace of God, and his grace is always sufficient for everybody, you will do things. So the pastor doesn't have to beat the whole thing and say, hey, let me do something about it. Because even a big preacher just simply saying something very soft and even the words he doesn't have to shout. If he just simply whisper, tell the truth, and the people can see that, they will act accordingly. They will hit the altar often. They will go out there. They will try to rectify or amend their life simply because they can see. When you see things clearly, you will act accordingly. Amen. This is what God is telling his people. God, by the way, this is his people. In every effort of this church, especially in fulfilling the Great Commission, and as I told somebody there, you're running out of places at the back to put your missionaries there. It might be Maybe you have to use this in the coming year. Amen, preacher. You do that. And that's I'm trying to do that with Southside Baptist Church as well, because Acts 1:8 is for everybody, for every generation, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I mean, we got to do both as much as we are 12 member church like Jesus Christ when he started, or 12,000 member church. You cannot fulfill everything, but you can do your very best to fulfill that. All right? And in seeing these things, you will act accordingly. So let me just quickly share with you a number of things as far as the description and the only remedy for spiritual blindness. We're talking of spiritual blindness here. Number one, spiritual blindness is an alienation from the Savior. You are alienated from the Savior, too far from it. That's spiritual blindness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Spiritual blindness is an alienation from the Savior. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, please. Ephesians 4, 18. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated. Is a connection of understanding or seeing things from being alienated from the life of God. Without God, there is no life anyway. Through the ignorance that is in them. They want to say ignorance. The Bible tells us that as well. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. So we have literal eyes, and the very core of our being, our heart, can see if we want to see things. The blindness of the heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling, they're still living in the past, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Can you see all the connection of blindness, unbelief, and sinning? Spiritual blindness is alienation from the Savior. Blindness is the reason why people are alienated or separated from the life of God. It's referring to those who are lost and on their way to hell, as evidenced by their deeds. Notice there in verse 19. When I was working in the hospitality industry, I better stay in the microphone. Is that picture? All right, because I tend to run around anyway. I'll try to discipline myself. When I was working in the hospitality industry back in the Philippines, I was working in hotels. I was working in restaurants, and that was before when I got saved. And we serve alcoholic beverages, and I already repented of that. But we almost always in that hotel have so many Australian men coming, Aussie men coming, you know. And you know what? I would notice this. No exceptions here. Sometimes I'm in the bar. Sometimes I'm serving in the coffee shop. They always have beer with them. This is true from morning till evening. And you know what I was thinking? Are these Aussie men, all of them beer drinkers, you know? They don't really, because everyone that I see would drink beer, and they just drinking it like water. You know, they don't get drunk, you know. So I was thinking, most men, if not all Aussie men, are beer drinkers. And then when we came here, it's not necessarily true. Unless I met your pastor. No. No, it's not really true. You know why I was thinking that way? I was so far from Australia. I didn't know. As the Bible tells us here, they didn't know, they don't understand, they're blind because they're so far from the Savior. The things of God, the Word of God, the will of God, they're so far detached from Him. That's why they're so blind. Spiritual blindness is an alienation from the Savior. And then secondly, spiritual blindness is an after effect of self-righteousness. It's an after effect of self-righteousness. Notice in John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I am saying this to build a foundation as far as not just the description, but the remedy, because that's the good thing with the Bible. You know, He'll tell you the problem, and often, if not all the time, the problem is us, and the solution is God, all right? So we'll start with the problem before we go to the solution. John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. Notice in John chapter 9, verse 14, please. John chapter 9, verse 14, it says,
Now that's not the one. Oh, let me just read this to you. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. He opened his eye. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I was and do see. This is a blind person. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And then in verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then that he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. He asked him, he shall speak for himself. This word spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews and agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. You know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I know not one thing. I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. When said they to him again, what did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have said to you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Would you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses for his fellow. We know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, wherein is the marvelous thing that you know and from whence he is? And yet he had opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man is a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. And then in verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard this word and said unto him, are we blind also? Verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Spiritual blindness is an after effect of self-righteousness. Let me just make a few comments. That's why I read the several passages here. Here comes Jesus. He's just pointing towards something. Literal blindness and how he healed this man. And then these Pharisees was questioning that. You know, there's one thing that I've learned in the ministry. When you correct people, right, in order for them not to focus the error or the fault or the sin upon them, they will try to criticize you. It always happens that way. And this is what they are doing here. These Pharisees know that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that is referring to them as far as their blindness is concerned. And Jesus Christ said, I believe you are also blind. And they said, what do you mean? With sarcasm, they said, hey, we can see. And Jesus Christ said to them, see, because you can see, that's why you're blind. You don't see what you need. And this is me. That's what he's referring to. But you refuse to understand that. You refuse to believe that. You refuse to embrace and acknowledge that I believe you're still blind. Unlike those disciples that followed him, you are still blind because they are self-righteous. They think they're doing well. And most believers are like that. You know, we're doing well. You know, we're giving $2 in our tithe, you know, and we're showing up to church every now and then. We're doing well. We don't need to be corrected. We don't need to change. Do you know that when Paul has reached the epoch of his ministry, he even said this, I haven't availed. I haven't reached what I need to reach. And most people are self-righteous. Self-righteousness will lead you to blindness. Blindness is an after effect of self-righteousness. It is funny, isn't it, that if we're diagnosed with serious illness and we tell the doctor we're okay and the doctor sees something else and we say we don't need him, and that's just really absurd. But you know that I find in ministry, and even not just in the church, in other churches as well, as I talk to other Christians and pastors, we're doing okay. May not necessarily verbalize that, but often many believers would say that we're okay. We don't need to be corrected. We don't need to be told. We don't need to change. And yet we all need to change, even this preacher that you're listening to, for the better. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be like Israel. This is what happened to the nation of Israel. They keep to themselves. They believe, they think they're okay. So God kept them in darkness and blind. Spiritual blindness is an after effect of self-righteousness. Number three, spiritual blindness is authored by Satan himself. Is authored by Satan himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. By the way, the devil has many, many devices, and we should not be ignorant. This is one of them. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Notice there in verse 4 in 2 Corinthians, in whom the God, small g, of this world, that Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Because if they believe, this is what's going to happen. The light of the glorious gospel will come upon them. But lest they don't want to, so lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In believing, the devil cannot tempt them or entice them or make them blind. Because of that blindness, I believe it's like salvation, part God and part human. We have our part, God has his part. In as far as spiritual blindness is concerned, the devil has his part, and it's a major part. And if we're aware of that, we will not stay blind, all right? Such spiritual blindness is authored by Satan. It's very clear here, lost people are blind. By the way, this is the reason why we're here this morning. We want them to see the light, like what we've seen the light. It's a glorious light. It's a wonderful light, if you really think about it. But notice that the reason why the devil was able to blind them is because they would not want to believe that the message of the gospel is true. Hence, they were blinded. You know, you put out gospel tract, would you pray? I don't know about you, but you know, whenever we don't take that lightly. You know, we put out gospel tract there in mailboxes. We do that. I try to divide it into just tracting Saturdays and then witnessing Saturdays, cold turkey Saturdays, and things like that. And so you read your prayer, and I always encourage people, it's okay to talk about when you're walking, but it's better okay to pray while somebody is presenting or talking to somebody. And we try to do that just to encourage people to do that, always encouraging people. Preacher, you do that all the time. They know that everything somehow, as far as ministry is concerned, but we still have to remind people. Every Sunday we still have to remind people as a reminder to ourselves as well. Spiritual blindness is authored by Satan, and without the grace of God, the power of God, you won't be able to overcome that. Sure. You can't. You just can't. He's much more powerful than you as far as experience is concerned. We know that as independent fundamental Baptist, he has at least minimum 6,000 years of experience with human beings. Sure. He knows how to do these things. Yes. Beloved, people can be blinded by the devil. But you can still choose to believe and follow God or to reject and disobey God. Amen. Keep in mind, the nation of Israel, they know God exists. Now, by knowledge, they know there's God. They know that there's Jehovah. They even pray. If you've been to Israel, Pastor, you probably have seen these Jews, you know. They acknowledge mentally that there is God. But they're still blind because they don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The answer to everything. Blindness spiritually is from the devil, but each one of us can refuse him. We can do that. That's the only power that we have to refuse Him. This is why I would encourage people, negative thoughts, bad things about somebody, you know, it's the enemy. You know, sometimes you have thoughts that just keeps, that just, you can just shake it off. Raise your hand if you have that. You know, it's just there. It's the enemy, and we think it's us. Partly it's us, but really it's the enemy. Just the preacher is after you, the preacher is after you, you know. The preacher is after you, you know. The preacher is after you. And because you're guilty, hey, he's after me. And you, guess what? And guess what? And guess what? You take it personally. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But against principalities and powers. There is out there. He was not successful in destroying the church from external source during the New Testament times. You know, persecution, everything, and it just keeps growing. I think that's what we need in this country. But then he said, "Let me just change my strategy. I will try to destroy the church from within." And he's pretty successful so far. Because people are blind. They don't really see the enemy. They're blind. They're just hitting each other, you know. Because they don't see. They don't want to believe. That's not the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Number four, spiritual blindness is an ailment that can speed up or accelerate. You know, if you don't take care of that blindness, it will become a monster. And when you have a monster, it's just so difficult, if not impossible, to handle that monster. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at me in 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice in verse 9, all of you familiar with these verses here, especially in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, if you continue to miss or lack, that word lacketh is just not the perfect present tense. When you're lacking these things, you are what? Blind. And you cannot see, not necessarily what's so close, but afar off, from the distance. And then when that happens to you, will forget that he was purged from his old sin. You know what's referring to here? This is a believer. This is a Christian. It's an infirmity, it's an ailment that can accelerate or speed up. Now, the possibility that Christians can be blind is intimated here. Notice in verse 5. Look at me in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. You mean to say you have to roll up your sleeve, you have to sweat, you have to fast, you have to pray hard, you have to really strive, alright? Giving all, not just 50%. All diligence. This is what you do. Add to your faith. You already believe. Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and temperance, patience, and there's so many things that you need. That requires basically like a lifetime. If you think about it, godliness in verse 7, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, notice here, I've been preaching on this and I've seen this, but whenever I see this again, just to remind myself, and abound, right? Not just enough, but abound, right? Meaning to say, you go back to verse 5, you have to give all diligence. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren. There's a guarantee here. Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing God, and the word knowledge is a good understanding in who and what Jesus Christ He is. So if you lack these things, if you don't roll up your sleeve and fast and pray hard and give your everything to it, if you lack these things, the Bible tells us, you'll be blind. Alright, you will be blind. If you allow that to happen, it will accelerate that blindness. If you remember, there's a story in the scripture, we don't have to turn there, when Jesus Christ was really one of the blind men, the first time he healed him, what did you see? What can you see? He said, I see men walking as trees, meaning to say it's not complete. And Jesus Christ, again, and then put his hand and finger on his hand, and yeah, I can see it now. There's a graduation. It's not just going to happen. That's the reason the word diligence is placed here. You know what? When the church door is open, be there. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, you feel like pulling your smartphone first, set it aside or put it somewhere, pull your Bible. If you have that smartphone, that's the danger there. Instead of looking at your Bible, electronic Bible, you will look at... Because it's always like that. The devil knows me, knows you as well. So set it aside. So I switch it off, put it somewhere, and the Bible is beside. That's all. You know, because it requires diligence. It's not going to be easy for us, folks. But everything that's around us, the devil is going to use them. Technology, pleasure, sports, amenities of life. He will make you blind. He has the power to do that. It will speed up that blindness. This is a spiritual abnormality that will only get worse or accelerate. An ailment that can speed up. You know that visually impaired people have very limitation in what they can do. We know that. People were born blind. Guess what? All the potential to do something, whatever that might be, whether it's their work or family or career or sport or anything, they're just limited, if not impossible, to do something because they're blind. Folks, it's true with you and I if we have blindness. As I will discuss some of these things, you cannot afford to stay blind. You will be useless. You will be unproductive. We need to our eyes to be open.
Amen.
Person born blind is the potential for things that can bring a normal life has already stopped even before it began. You will never go further as a Christian that glorifies God and enjoys serving Him. It's difficult, preacher. We know this. It's by the grace of God only that we're here as far as servants, whether it's a pastor, a missionary, or ordinary Christians, because we have a part, we have duty to perform. But it's the same principle with you and I. When you start following God, whether you're just sitting on the pew, basically doing something and starting to be faithful to God, you will find swimming upstream spiritually is just, if not impossible, very difficult. When you're going along with the tide, it's okay. It is stream. They start to go, turn around. Oh! And then finally here, spiritual blindness is an affliction that can be stamped out. That can be cured. That can be remedied. Luke chapter 4, please. We're supposed to look at several passages, but just one here. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I've said those things for you to be challenged and encouraged and be comforted at the same time. To listen to this last point here. Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Notice there in verse 18. Picture, this can preach this verse, but just want to focus on one thing here. Notice verse 18, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why is that necessary? Here it is. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Anointing is very much needed. Not just His calling, but His anointing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Recovering of sight to the blind. Notice the connection with the anointing, the preaching, and the stamping out of blindness. The answer to this awful condition, this is an awful, terrible condition, that because people are blind, they don't see it. Unless you look it up in the Word of God as if you're looking at the mirror. The awful condition is the Lord Himself, and will always be the Lord Jesus Christ. He can heal that blindness, but notice the way and the manner and the method that He wants to do this. The preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what it is. The preaching of faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing
by the word of God. I mean, you know the picture here, and some people says this, and I'm sure in this church, I'm not being negative, there are people that I've heard message, I've heard the screaming and the yelling and the shouting, the pounding of the pulpit, I don't have to come to church. They may not say that literally, but the fact that they're absent from the church without any legitimate and real reason, they're saying that they're blind, really, and they don't want to remove that blindness. Because if we are going to grow in our faith, if we're going to increase in our faith, grow in our faith, develop in our faith, we need to be in the church, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. From that passage, we know that if we just keep hearing the Word of God, and hearing the Word of God, and hearing the Word of God, let me just share with you, and I think I've shared this to many of you here, and even in Southside Baptist Church, when I was in Bible College, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, Pastor, I would always go during lunchtime to the library, in that library that's now being used as part of the room in the college, that little library there. And in that library, there are so many tapes, cassette tapes, you know, it's obsolete now. Anyone remember cassette tapes there? And hundreds, probably thousands of them, there's cassette tapes and messages of Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and John Rice, all the great men of God, and Jack House and everything. Every day that I am there after the class, I'll go straight there and listen to messages. I copied messages. I'm not sure if I told you, but I was the one who broke that recorder there. And then after that, I would take some of them home and then listen to the car, listening to cassette tapes, because I believe faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And even when I was a security work in Westpac, working there while studying in Bible College, guess what I do? During several hours of just sitting there, and sometimes perimeter, I have my, they call it Walkman, you know, you put your cassette tapes, and I was, and one of the reasons for that is because it's very dark there, and I've heard ghosts. So, amen, you know, hallelujah, you know. And you know what, but it really, seriously, it really did help me. Amen. And just the fire is there. The book of Exodus tells us that. The book of Joshua tells us that. The book of Jeremiah tells us that you need fire. I mean, if you have fire in you, you know what? You will conflagrate others as well. I mean, you can be influenced. By the way, if you're cold as well, you can influence others too. If you're a gossiper, you can influence. One thing that I learned when it comes to tale-bearing or gossip, right? It's gossip. Tale-bearing is what? If there's no listeners, there's no gossip. If people want to listen to negative things, especially about the bad things, and they don't see the big pictures. You know why? Because they're blind. I talked to a lady from a church of Hebron, which is around Hurstville area. A nice lady, a little bit strict, but they use King James. They're preaching the gospel as well. And I was knocking on the door, and out came this pastor's wife. And so then we chat a little bit, introduced myself. She introduced herself. And said, you know, Brother Marco, started calling me Brother Marco. You know what the problem with our people here and all around the world? People love their sin. They really love their sin. Flesh loves the same. And if you are not blind, you will see that. If you're blind, you won't. You won't be able to respond properly because you don't see that. Just like in my introduction, if you see things, you understand things, you will act accordingly. Because you can see it. If you're a good person, as far as the grace of God is concerned, you understand what reasoning, what is being logical and sensible, you see things. You go to the shop, say, this is cheap, this is the same, but this is cheaper. Why would I buy the more expensive one? Just common sense and logic. I'm just using that to illustrate a point. If you see something in a church, and you really see it by your heart, not by your eyes only, then you will act accordingly. Amen. And you know what we can see here? It's the preaching of the Word. The Word of God is the preaching that would really help you. And you know, one of the things that I experienced as far as church and ministry is concerned, serving God. You know what? When there's a problem, and people will be hit by problem, especially if you want to follow Christ, you will be hit by problem. That so many things you would put it, that the devil will dangle a carrot in front of you to tempt you and everything. It's from the devil to blind you. You know what? The very first thing that suffers as far as being sidetracked from the things of God? Coming to church. Say amen to that. The very first thing that will stop her is coming to church. Laziness or doing something else or something urgent or something. There's always an excuse. People can always find an excuse not to come to church. But they will have difficulty looking for an excuse when they go to work. It's so difficult. It won't be approved. And I just tell the pastor you can't make it. Sometimes they don't. There are legitimate reasons, and that's understandable. That's fine. But because of the blindness, the preaching of the Word of God is going to help you and I. It helped me, and I've seen people, Christians, who are serious at God. It's been my philosophy, whether it's a new preacher, whether it's a student preacher, as long as he preaches the Word of God, King James and everything, I would listen and I will get something. And guess what? I always will get something. A statement, a story, or a verse there. Why? Because you came to church with an empty plate, so to speak. Lord, fill this up. But if you are full of yourself, which is blindness, God, where would I put this? It's full of himself. Maybe somebody who is hungry. Maybe somebody who wants it. Maybe somebody who is spiritually malnourished and who accepts this and who wants this. But not that person. This spiritual blindness. What, everything that I said, you know what will help you and I? Keep coming to church when the church door is open. It's so good to have you people. I hope it's not just a breakfast talk. Don't be part of it. No, I'm serious. Really. It helped me. I've seen preachers happen to him because of the preaching, because of their love for the Word. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is the answer to everything. You have a problem with career? So cool. You have a problem with work? You have a problem with relationship? Children? You have a problem with your parents? Problem with neighbors? Jesus Christ. Amen. He has the answer. That's why I love a gospel track. Mainly for the past 12 years now, I haven't changed it simply because the title of the gospel track, Jesus Christ, He is the answer.
Amen.
I hope you can see that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time. We praise you, and I praise you for this church. Been here for so many years, 40 plus years, Lord. Gospel has been preached to so many areas, kilometers and kilometers from within this church, and then even beyond. Lord, it is not possible to do these things and sending out missionaries like me without seeing the need, without understanding. Thank you for Pastor Marvin Matthew, who can see that and then pass it on to this preacher here, and the preacher passing it on to the people. It is our prayer, Lord, that you would help us see this. It all starts with the basic. And yet the basic is the thing that suffers so often. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us see that clearly this morning. Thank you so much for your goodness. We praise you in your most wonderful name, we pray.